Hey, so a lot of things to talk about, Governor, and thanks for joining me today. First of all, you got to be happy. I know this whole debacle thing with Gunstock Mountain Resort opening today, reopening today, a couple of weeks after this whole senior management staff resigned in this dispute with the county-appointed Gunstock Area Commission. Obviously, you got to be happy how this resolved itself. You spoke to with us a couple of weeks ago when this was first happening, and you said there were people that were making the wrong decisions. This needed to get resolved quickly, and it took 2 weeks to do it. And here we are, Gunstock back open today.
Well, I think we're all thrilled, right? And obviously, a huge thank you to all the citizens who stood up. I mean, management had kind of been tussling with the their commission for months and months and months, and it was just getting worse and worse to the point where they got up and left, and they were a great team. And that was a bit of a spark. I probably threw a bit of a gasoline on the fire just to make people realize what this really meant, what closure meant, the fact that you're going to have, we were having schools not having their ski clubs this winter and all of that sort of thing. So time was really of the essence. The citizens of Belknap really stood up and said, look, we got to get this open one way or the other. What does it take to bring this team back? They made the changes they had to make, and they're moving on. And so that's it. All that matters is, at the end of the day, is getting good results. And hopefully learning from it. Hopefully these folks learn that you can't just come in like a bull in a china shop and have people without experience calling the shots on a place that is so special to New Hampshire and Belknap County. So we're just so excited that it's back open, it's running, and it looks like things are back on track to finish out a strong summer season for them as well as get ready for the winter season. People don't realize you have to maintain those lifts all summer long. You have to do equipment testing and all of that sort of thing all summer long. So if that had ceased for much longer than the two-week pause that it had, there was risk of it, even if you could resolve this before it snowed, there was risk that the resort still wouldn't be able to open because the lifts and the tramway board wouldn't be able to certify things and the insurance companies would balk. So there's a whole domino of things that happens in the off-season to ensure the winter happens, and they're back on track. So that's good news for everybody.
Yeah, kudos to, as you say, the citizens of Belknap County. They did a great job. Great job voicing their opinion and getting things done right. A story that broke this week, of course, is this story in Politico that the president, Joe Biden, may want his home state of Delaware to vote first in the primary process, kind of sticking it to New Hampshire. And you obviously made some comments yesterday. I want to ask you about this. I get it. I understand this. But, you know, when it's all done and everything is out and sorted, New Hampshire's going to have the first in the nation presidential primary no matter what because of what we have on our state books. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. Our primary is going to happen. What's happening, though, is the Democrats may not allow the delegates to sit. They may say, well, it doesn't count. Right? Republicans have secured it on our side. It's good. It's the same tradition as it always has. But the Democrat Party looks like they're going to change the rules on their side. They were supposed to make that announcement this week. They said, well, you know what? We're not going to announce it till after the election. So that, reading the tea leaves there, that does not bode well. And when the president now comes out and says, well, maybe Delaware will take the first in the nation primary. I get upset. I really do. And this is something that the chairman of the Democrat Party New Hampshire and I join steadfast in, the importance of the first in the nation primary. And so we kind of closed the deal on our side. The Democrats made a pitch on their side, and we're not successful because you have now the president of the United States talking about moving it. So look, we're going to, our vote is going to happen. Whether it counts for the Democrats or not, I don't know. I took more offense, I think, to what the president said yesterday. I thought it was a bit insulting, the idea that just any state can just pick their first in the nation primary and it doesn't matter. We work hard to get it right. We work hard to have such high voter turnout, such interaction, to ensure that candidates don't just need money and name ID. They just need to be the best candidate to be successful here. And that really does matter. And I think it matters to the rest of the country. So I take it real personally. I think we all should. And again, my request to the federal delegation is, you know, they made their pitch. It's not working. They got to go get some help. They got to go get other folks in the Democrat Party around the country to make the pitch to keep it here and make sure that their delegates get seated just like the Republicans will.
Well, let me ask you this, and let me just play devil's advocate for a second. Even though New Hampshire has had it for decades and decades and decades, why are we owed it? Why do you think we're owed it? Why would not another state say, well, New Hampshire's had it for so many years, it's a pretty good economic additive as well. It's economic as well. You know, why not make it kind of like a lottery type thing and pick states out of a hat? I'm just playing devil's advocate. Why are we owed it?
Yeah, because a lot of states get it wrong. So let's talk about that for a second. First, you don't need a lot of money to run here. If you put it in New York or California or even like Nevada, like they're talking, I mean, that's just big money, television commercials, very little one-on-one connection with voters. Those are big cities that are kind of deciding, you know, where the vote is going to go. And in those cities, you're kind of doing the big rallies and all that. You're not sitting in people's living rooms earning the vote. We also have one of the highest voter turnouts in the country. We have the highest, when you ask people across the country, do you believe your vote counted? Does your system have integrity? We are always ranked at the top, number one or number two. So people believe in our system. And if you remember when Iowa screwed it up 4 years ago, I mean, and they really got, they had no winner. They had nothing. It came to us. The whole country was like, well, maybe we're going to keep screwing this whole system up. And we got it right. We counted our votes that day. We had a winner that night, as we always do. You know, we just nailed it. And by doing that, the entire country looked at New Hampshire and said, okay, thank God, we can as Americans, we can get this thing right. And it gave confidence to the whole process as it proceeded to Carolina and Florida and all the other states on. So we are kind of the first filter, not just who has the most money, not just who is the most famous. We are the first filter of who really connects with voters the right way. And that's what everybody wants to see. So I think because of that mechanism, and it isn't just a tradition, it's not about the economics. Economics are fine. That's nice. But we have earned it. And I think we've earned it. We've earned it not just on behalf of ourselves, but on behalf of the entire country.
Yeah. Well, thank you for answering that question in honesty and truth. I appreciate that. We're speaking to New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu for a couple more moments here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. One thing yesterday, you signed a bill yesterday requiring student identification cards to include the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline into law yesterday. This is kind of interesting. In New Hampshire, are suicides up among young people? Do we know that? I know there's a big issue with, you know, mental illness. We've talked about this many, many times, trying to get that back on track. But did the statistics show that young people in this state have a higher incident of suicide?
Yeah, in all 50 states over the last 20 years, suicides amongst young people have risen. And so that's really what we look at. We don't just look at, you know, 1 year to another year. And just the mental health awareness, the stresses on kids, what happened during COVID. So this is a very subtle but very powerful bill at the same time. It's subtle in that it's so simple. A mental health hotline on the back of every student ID in this state. I mean, this is just, it's a game changer, because what that means is not just every student has a phone number. Every family has now access to the right door in a mental health crisis. That crisis can come at 3 a.m. And as a parent, you don't know what to do. Or as a child, even, you don't know what to do. So now you do. Now, this is the numbers, 24 hours. It connects with somebody here in New Hampshire. It works. And just making sure that everybody knows that door of opportunity can really be the difference between somebody feeling isolated. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know who to call. Maybe I can't. This is a student that says, I don't feel comfortable talking to my parents. Right? I don't feel comfortable talking. I'll just tough it out. Well, these young people try to tough it out until it's too late and it gets too far. Now they have it right in their back pocket, right? They have that access. So the access points, we've making huge investments in mental health with hospitals, emergency, at what we call our ACT teams that can respond 24 hours a day, not just in Manchester, but almost anywhere in the state now they can be to provide mental health services on the spot. But you got to know how to access them. You got to know how to, asking for help is sometimes the toughest part and the most important part of the equation. And this opens the door to that. So it's so simple and easy, but I do believe this is going to save lives. I really do believe this is going to allow people to get better access to mental health care, almost than they've ever had before. Because it's not about, people can have a mental health access point a mile away from their own home and they don't even know it, right? They just don't know it's there because they've never had to worry about that. But then when it hits, they don't know what to do. Now they do. Now they do. And so I was so excited about this bill. And Paul and Martha Dickey, they lost their son to suicide, and they didn't, you almost would have expected folks that have gone through that to say, look, I just can't deal with this anymore. But they stood up, and they turned their tragedy into something positive because they don't want to see it happen to anyone else. They came up with this idea, and I think it's going to be a game changer. So I signed the bill yesterday, very excited about it, and every parent, every school should see that hotline on the back of their kids' student IDs in the coming year.